Thank you, Linda. That was beautiful. Good morning, everyone. My name is Denise Miles, and I'm one of the deacons here at Village Baptist Church. It is my honor and privilege to read to you for the month of January. Today's reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. You can read it on the screen behind me or on page 1071 in your pew Bibles. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing these things that have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Dear Lord, please grant us understanding of this, your holy word, and give us the strength to keep calm and carry on.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Keep calm and carry on. Today is difficult. Dare I say, a nightmare for some of us. While for me it is a dream come true. You may feel that your world is falling apart, while I feel that mine is starting to fall into place. We are all saying, this can't be happening, while for different reasons. Pastor Bruce has retired, and my role in this fellowship has changed from associate pastor to interim pastor. Now, I know that it will take some getting used to, and there are those who don't want to get comfortable with the idea of an interim period, or me as the interim pastor. Still, I am willing to wait for those who would hold out, who would sit back and see how this all plays out, because you are worth it, and the future of this spiritual community requires it. No sudden moves, no quick turns, no bright ideas. I enter this season with the hope of stability. I understand that being a female pastor is for some an oxymoron, that one seemingly cancels out the other. Women are not often viewed as leaders or placed in leadership positions, especially in the church. While both Adam and Eve are cursed with hard labor in the book of Genesis, there remains this underlying distrust of women and devaluation of our mouths. Though Christ promises to forgive us all our sins, it seems that we still punish women for this. While we sing Amazing Grace, we still find her guilty of this. Consequently, I do not take your confidence or trust in me lightly. And since there are not many images of women in pastoral leadership for which to compare or to create expectations for me, I thought I might share a few of my own. First, the sermons will not consist of tales about my son or time-saving recipes. This is not the gospel according to Martha Stewart or Rachel Ray. You have not tuned into the Hallmark or Cooking Channel. Like Paul, I will preach Christ and him crucified. Secondly, I do not babysit. Please do not hand me your child or expect me to watch your children during the service. Unless they are being dedicated to the Lord or I pick them up, I have no intentions of holding a baby in one hand and a Bible in the other. Thirdly, I do not cook often. My hands are not regularly attached to pots and pans. I am not fully persuaded that palm olive softens hands while you do dishes. Consequently, do not ask me what side dish or dessert I am bringing. You can sign me up to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, I do not carry safety pins, bobby pins, sewing kits, tissues, manicure sets, gum, mints, a comb, brush, or a mirror. You will see no sign of a purse, lest you be tempted to ask me to carry something for you. Because there is the temptation to superimpose our traditional gender roles onto each other. And none of the above mentioned should be considered other duties as assigned. Finally, let your expectation be for a pastor, not a female pastor. If you would not assume, ask, or expect it of a male pastor, then do not assume, ask, or expect it of me. So do not give or take away points based on my haircut, my makeup, or my clothing selection. My credibility should not lie in my outward appearance, but be based on the record of my relationship with you. Besides, as believers, the gospel should always be attractive and should hold our attention, regardless of who is proclaiming it. Because we are formed and held together by the presence of Christ alone, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is Christ who is our constant, and for this reason, we should be able to keep calm and carry on. I have no new ideas, no grand visions, no sweeping changes to make, and I have no interest or investment in conversations to that end. I've come to hold you in the interim, in this uncertain and sensitive in-between time. I pray that my sermons feel like a holy embrace, that you all are pulled together to feel the warmth of this fellowship, that you not feel compelled to pull away. Instead, it is my prayer that you would draw nearer to God, that you would lean in and listen up for what God has for this congregation to do and to be. And until then, keep calm and carry on. Someone once said, if Satan can't make you bad, he'll keep you busy. I would add that if the devil can't get you to hell, he will keep you busy putting out fires. Why am I saying this? For the past 2 weeks, Chicken Little has been trying to recruit me. The sky wasn't falling, but the ceiling in my new apartment nearly did. But first it started with a leak in one of the bedrooms. I was arranging furniture when I noticed that the floor was damp and then really wet. I called the maintenance personnel. Problem solved, or so I thought. Days before Christmas, I was preparing to cook dinner. I opened the door to the refrigerator and water began to pour from a vent above the stove. I stood in shock at first and then grabbed pots and pans. I found out later that my new neighbor was having a fight with her new washer. This happened 3 days in a row, on and after Christmas. Needless to say, I did not sing "It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas." On the day of the move to Bowie, my car battery died. Car packed with personal treasures and valuables, I climbed in to follow the moving truck. It was a no-go. I called Jesus. I called a cab. Then I called the maintenance staff who came and revived my dead battery. It would fail to start 3 times more after this. In that week, 3 trips to the dealership and a new battery later, I found myself ill. While I had convinced my mind to remain strong, my body was having an adverse effect to all the changes, seasonal and otherwise. In the end, I would have to pack up my belongings again and move to a second apartment. Two moves in 1 week, two address changes, two times I've had to change utility and other services. All the while, there are the responsibilities of home and family, office hours, sermons and prayers to be written, paperwork, bills, emails, meetings, project proposal deadlines, and celebrations. And I feel like my life is in a moving box, that I am not settled. For the past couple of weeks, I've had to open boxes to find clothing, shoes, toothpaste, plates. I packed and then opened boxes for my now new church office and for my new office in DC, which still has no furniture. My computer sits atop a plastic table. All of my files, account codes, presentations, reference materials are in boxes. I cannot pin much down these days, and still the phone rings for appointments and meetings and references. So I think that I have earned an advanced degree in serenity studies and the right to tell you, keep calm and carry on. This slogan was coined by the British government in 1939 and has recently gained renewed usage. Said in response to the threat of war and the potential advance of Hitler, the words were displayed on posters and given to the people of England. Today, there may be the feeling that the history, heritage, and hope of Village Baptist Church may soon be under attack, that who we are will no longer be. Whatever the reasons, real or imagined, it is important to remember that while we have a culture, Christianity is not experienced or expressed through a single culture. Christianity cannot be reduced to our traditions. Christ's fold is not restricted to our circle of friends. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, "Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community. Even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial, God hates this wishful dreaming because it makes the dreamer proud and pretentious. Those who dream of this idealized community demand that it be fulfilled by God, by others, and by themselves. They enter the community of Christians with their demands set up by their own law and judge one another and God accordingly. It is not we who build. Christ builds the church. Whoever is mindful to build the church is surely well on the way to destroying it. For he will build a temple to idols without wishing or knowing it. We must confess Christ builds. We must proclaim Christ builds. We must pray to him and he will build." Bonhoeffer says that we should put our tools down, put our blueprints away. There is no use for construction hats or permits in the house of God. Just keep calm and carry on. This is what Mary, the mother of Jesus, teaches us. This is what John the Baptist models as he prepares the way of the Lord. This is what the boy Jesus does when he stays behind in the temple, only to be met by frantic parents. He is the same as an adult, continuing to run his mouth, which is his father's business, even when confronted with death. This is what Paul says to the church at Philippi. Keep calm and carry on. The letter has been described as the rhetoric of friendship. Still, Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica that though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. Paul says the conditions were not perfect, but he proclaimed the gospel anyway. They called him names, but he called on the name of Jesus anyhow. In Acts chapter 16, we are reminded of such treatment of Paul and Silas, who are put in chains after delivering a slave girl. They are stripped naked and beaten with rods in public. and the crowd joins in. Afterwards, Paul and Silas are placed with the hardest of criminals, the lifers, who have nothing to lose. Feet in stocks, they cry out to God. They have a watch night service, singing at midnight. Paul and Silas are in chains, but their spirits are free to start a prison ministry. It is this Paul who has gotten into trouble for doing the right thing. Physically scarred, falsely imprisoned, and now with a criminal record, Paul pens the letter to the believers in Thessalonica, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace be with you. Keep calm and carry on. This table of the Lord is not prepared under perfect conditions. It is not a catered meal, but the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No servers or busboys. Jesus, our servant leader, invites us to dine with him, sharing a table with a backstabber, a fair-weathered friend, and more than a few scaredy cats. Still, Jesus keeps calm and carries on.
Father, as we come before this table, we are reminded of the baby Jesus who came into this world to save us from sin. He lived his life and showed us how to live life. He died on the cross that we would have the gift of eternal life for believing in him and confessing our sins. As we enter into 2018, we resolve to be better Christians, to come before your throne daily and bow on bended knees and praise and worship you, and to love one another as you showed us how to love one another, with dignity, respect, and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. hand in the same manner he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today, in the first week of the new year. We come to you with our faith, with our understanding that our love for you will forever grow. We come to you in times of transition, but we understand that the ability to stay strong and stay together. Our faith in you will never falter. In our holy name and precious name, we give you all the praise. Amen.
Amen.
Sorrows like sea.
Amen.